Good morning, everybody. I brought my orchestra in a can right here. And I used to have these great big speakers, you know, these Bose speakers and all that kind of stuff. And sold all that. One thing, I couldn't lift it anymore. But the other thing was that this does almost as well with a lot less effort. So anyway, I brought it along. Sometimes it's a little temperamental, but hopefully we'll get it to work today. So, all right. Let me get the music straightened out here. It works. Okay, good. All right, here we are. Can you hear it okay? Young people want it up, the old people want it down, right? I was listening to the radio a number of years ago, heading to a teaching class. And this announcer was a top 40 station, a rental car. And of course, the person that had it last had it on all these rock stations. And the guy said, "Now I'd like to play you my favorite song." And it was not my favorite song. So after that, I decided I'd write a song, at least about my favorite song. And it's simply called My Favorite Song. It goes like this. There are songs of love. There are songs of peace. There are songs of joy. There are songs of grief. Some sing songs about the good old days and sing songs up of the good old days. But let me sing for you my favorite song. And this is it. It's all about Jesus, Rock of Ages. It's all about Jesus Christ, my Lord. It's all about what He did on Calvary and what He's doing now for you and me. He's coming back again to this old earth to take me home because of my new birth. Yes, I've got reasons for singing my favorite song. What's your favorite song anyway? How Great Thou Art, the Messiah, Jesus Loves Me, I don't know, Joy to the World, whatever it is, I hope it's about this one who deserves all of our praise and adoration. Here's the last verse. Some sing songs of liberation and other causes, quite a few. Others sing of their religion, and that's really nothing new. Children sing about their happy times, and they sing songs with nursery rhymes. But let me sing for you my favorite song. And this is it. It's all about Jesus, Rock of Ages. It's all about Jesus Christ, my Lord. It's all about what He did on Calvary and what He's doing now for you and me. He's coming back again to this old earth to take me home because of my new birth. Yes, I've got reasons for singing my favorite song. One more time. Yes, I've got reasons for singing my favorite song. I'll sing my favorite song. All right. That's okay. All right, I'll put my orchestra to sleep here. All right. We're running a little short of time here. I want to have enough time for the message, so I'm not going to do one on this. This is a, anybody know what this is? What is it?
A soprano saxophone.
You got to be kidding me. I thought you were going to say a flute or a drum or something. No, it's actually not a soprano. It's a Christian saxophone. It's been straightened out, you know, I guess. Okay. Okay. But anyway, no, I've been playing that since the age of six. Probably doesn't sound like it, but anyway. Very quickly, before we get into the Word, just a few notes about some of the things back on the table. If you're interested, how many of you know someone or have a child that's autistic? Or know one that is an autistic child? Well, we have a grandson that's autistic. In fact, we have two grandsons that are autistic. One is adopted and one is not. And so our son, Doug, who is our second out of four children, wrote a book about his son, who is now, by the way, 19, living on his own, working, bought his own boat, bought his own car, and has graduated from a trade school and doing fantastic. Praise the Lord. We have another grandson who we adopted at the age of 6 months, and he's also 19. And he's got a different kind of autism, but now he's living with one other guy and working at Wendy's, learning social skills, and he is doing great. So we thank the Lord for these kids that the Lord has loaned to us for these days. And this book is about how Doug dealt with his son and just some thoughts. And he compares his love for his son with Abraham and Sarah and a lot of the things, the parallels there. So if you're interested, these are $5 a piece. That's basically what it cost us to print these. And also this book back here I wrote a few years ago. This has quips and quotes and stories. The reason why I wrote it is so that I could communicate the gospel to people without them knowing that they're picking up something that has the gospel in it. Is that fair? And so it's almost 400 pages. There's several thousand quips and quotes and stories and poems and humor. And there's things like marriage and children and food and exercise and the Bible, over 300 references of Scripture, bumper stickers, all sorts of things. Some of them humorous, some of them serious. Patriotism, terrorism, everything's in here. In fact, I got a call not long ago from someone who said, "Are you the guy that wrote that book called I Failed to Miss Your Point?" I said, "Yes." He said, "We were on a cruise to Bermuda, and your book was sitting on the table in the middle of the library." So I don't know where this is going. I give it to my doctors, and I've met quite a few of them lately, and other people. And it's a way to communicate the gospel. The Roman road's in here. The plan of salvation's in here, okay? And it catches people without knowing that they've got a book that's got the gospel in it. So if you would like to get one of those, they're back there. And again, Barnes & Noble sells them for $27.99. I sell them for $20. If it says $25 back there, it's $20 today, okay? So anyway, all right, let's stop with that. Very quickly, just to share, well, also, this video here, our daughter is an actress, and this particular is a Christian film called Virtuous, and she plays the wife of Eric Estrada. Eric Estrada plays the husband, and it's a tremendous film of inspiration, and they're back there. I paid $20, and I'm selling them for $20. So anyway, if you're interested, help yourself there. Okay, very quickly to give you an update on Release Time Bible Education. Does anybody know what Release Time is? How many have ever gone to Release Time Bible Education? Whoa, really? Nobody here? Well, let me just tell you quickly. Release Time Bible Education is a Supreme Court approved a way to bring public school students into your church or any other place you wish to have for Bible training during the school day. You say that's impossible. It's not. The Supreme Court said it's legal. The only things required are, one, it must be off the school grounds. Two, you must have parent or guardian permission. And three, it can't cost the school anything. So for the past 9.5 years, I've been chairing this organization, chairing the board. And we have tens of thousands of students now with parent permission getting out of public school for one period a day or one period a week, depending what state you're in, for Bible training. And God has been doing tremendous things to these kids. Many of them have never even held a Bible. And they're hearing the gospel for the first time, many of them. And we're seeing God do tremendous things. And so please, I would ask you to pray for our ministry. We call it School Ministries. And the website is simply schoolministries.org. And we also have another website, which is called Bringing Hope to Youth, but it takes you to the same place. We're bringing hope to youth. There's between 51 and 52 million public school students in America. Over half of them go nowhere for worship. They're pagans, basically. They don't go anywhere, let alone have a church that preaches the gospel. So we're raising a nation of basically folks who have never heard. The mission field is right here, outside the door. So if you'd like to participate in that, if you'd like to know more about it, give me your name, address, email, whatever, phone number. I'll make sure you get some information, because to me, the mission field is right here. I'm not saying ignore the rest of the world, but we have a problem right here in this country, and we have an opportunity. The door is wide open. In fact, I just resigned from the board as chairman, and I'm still on the board, but I said, 9.5 years chairman, I'm getting a little older, I'm going to have somebody else take over. So I nominated Rob Sullivan. Now, some of you know Rob. And so Rob has accepted. The board voted unanimously for him to be the new chairman. He's been chairman now for just under a year, and he's doing a tremendous job. So pray for Rob and pray for the rest of the board that God would provide the wisdom and the stamina and the finances and contacts, and also provide us Christians in the school system that can help us on the inside bring this particular ministry to their public schools. If you want to know more about it, please just give me your name and address and contact information. Write on it school ministries information or something like that, and I'd be more than happy to provide it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for the snow that reminds us of your purity and holiness. And Lord, as we open your word now, may we handle it with care, and may we rightly divide it, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What to speak about. I was looking through my notes. I keep track of what I speak on when I go different places, and I noticed I'm here every 4 years. So that must be sort of a cooling down period. Let you recover, and then I come back again, dose you again, and then you take another 4 years to recover. But that's okay. I understand. That's not a problem. How many of you watched the recent Olympics? Wasn't that amazing, the Korean Olympics over there? Amazing. Amazing. And you know, as I was watching it, recognizing that there are over 100 million people watching those Olympics at any particular time. In fact, in some cases, they estimate up to close to a billion watch the Olympics around the world at various times. So we have a lot of people watching these athletes. And I was just thinking about that. I was thinking, you know, there's millions of people watching us. Watching us, wherever we are. And my thoughts went to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I would like us to turn there this morning and focus on a specific verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, or Christ's behalf, be ye reconciled to God. That word ambassador is a very, very special word. It's not just sort of thrown in there because the author couldn't think of another word. And I love word studies. I'm not a scholar when it comes to word studies. I went to Emmaus, but I only spent a year there. I graduated. You know what that's like, Bob, right? But anyway, I went to Emmaus and learned a lot about the scriptures, but there's still an awful lot to learn. But I did do a sort of a study on this word ambassador. What does it really entail? And so I'd like to share with you for the rest of our time this morning, just under a half an hour, to sort of pull this word apart and find out what does it mean to be an ambassador. So if you're taking your notes, you're going to take about 10 points, okay? They're very brief. But hopefully it'll help us understand what our responsibilities are for those of us who know Christ as Savior to be an ambassador for Christ. Now, this word ambassador is not just randomly thrown in here, and it doesn't appear very many times in Scripture. In fact, it only appears one other place in the New Testament, and that is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. We read this, and Paul is saying this, for which, it's an incomplete sentence, but verse 20 says, for which I am an ambassador in bounds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So both of the times that the word ambassador appears in the New Testament, it's out of the mouth of Paul in his writings to the church at Ephesus and to the church at Corinth. He's saying, I am an ambassador. And then the other one, he says, we are ambassadors. So it's, he's saying, basically, don't just leave it up to me. You know, all of you who know the Lord are ambassadors where you are, wherever you're sent. You're an ambassador. So when I looked up the Greek, what does this word mean? It's pronounced presbo, P-R-E-S-B-E-A-U. It almost looks French. It's to be a senior person, an older person, a mature person acting as a representative. Okay. In fact, the Spanish, it's the word embajadores. I don't speak Spanish very well, but it's sort of like, it's like ambassador, but it's sort of with a Spanish twist to it. Basically, ambassador in the Spanish language is almost like the English language. It's interesting that both times the word ambassador is used, it's spoken by the Apostle Paul. Now, let's take it farther. What does it take to be an ambassador? What are the characteristics of an ambassador? You just can't go out and say, I'm going to be an ambassador, like to, you know, Great Britain or to China or whatever. There are certain requirements of an ambassador. Number one is this. An ambassador, if you're taking notes, number one, an ambassador is one who is sent. Okay? An ambassador is one who is sent. You don't sit in Washington serving as an ambassador. You don't have your little residence there in Washington serving as an ambassador to Great Britain by sitting on I Street or E Street or any other street in Washington. You go. You have a chancery or you have an embassy in London or in Cairo or in now Jerusalem in Israel. We're moving there soon. Okay. You're sent. You go. Okay. The Lord said, and the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And what I see in many churches, I go from place to place. I'll be in a different state each Sunday of this month, in fact, New York and here in New Jersey, and then in Maryland, and where's the other one? I guess in New York State. And some places, I don't see a lot of outreach. I see a lot of sort of comfort. You know, we're sort of here, we're having wonderful fellowship, but I don't see a lot of outreach. Now, in the announcements this morning, it was wonderful to hear about all the different things that are happening here, including a lot of outreach to children, to adults, and even reaching out to those who are in need, elderly, and so on. That's a wonderful thing. But an ambassador is one who is sent. Okay, in fact, A.P. Gibbs, how many remember A.P. Gibbs? If you're old enough, some of you do. Okay, I played tennis with him up in Guelph many, many years ago when I was up there for summer camp back in the 1800s. And he used to, that's almost true. He's written, of course, written many, many songs, including some in the Believer's Hymnal that you sing from this morning. And he used to have a message called, No Go, No Low. You know, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and what, class? And lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the earth. Okay, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Evangelism is to go. Go to those who have not heard. Go to those who have heard and haven't yet received. Go. And that's what we're trying to do with school ministries. That's what Campus Crusade is trying to do. That's what a lot of these other ministries, Youth for Christ, et cetera, are trying to do. Go. Okay. I worked in the Pentagon for 15 years, and in fact, I was there on 9/11 when the attack happened. That was quite a shock. But you know, I consider the Pentagon part of my where I go. And you say, well, how do I serve as an ambassador in the Pentagon? You know, that's a little tricky, isn't it? Well, there's lots of ways to do it. One of them was I had a sign about this big with a little frame on it and nice script letters. And what did the sign say? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it wasn't say, you're a sinner, you know. It was something that I felt I could put up there that people would read and recognize that perhaps this is a room occupied by somebody who knows the Lord as their Savior. and I'm happy that I'm here to serve. This is the day that the Lord has made. There are lots of ways to serve as an ambassador, no matter where you are. I also serve with the National Academy of Sciences, doing some reviews of various government laboratories and research and so on. And most of these folks that serve are very secular, and many of them are almost anti-religious, if you want to say it that way. So how do you serve as an ambassador in that kind of group? Well, bring your Bible along. You know, over lunch, you open it up and read. You know, sometimes you start a conversation. You know. So what are your life goals? You know, what do you think about this? Maybe something that relates to faith or some tragedy that you can then turn to talk about what can we do about these things. It's amazing. God gives opportunity. But we have to go. We are ambassadors. No matter where we are, we go. Number two, in other words, don't be a holy huddle. You know, we used to talk about kings up in Briarcliff. You know, it was the holy huddle. You know, we're sort of up there away from all the temptations of New York City. And Stan Oakes, the president of Kings, came in. He says, you know, we don't necessarily want a holy huddle where we're all comfortable and sort of like a nest. We go. We need to go and get out of this comfort zone, if you will. Mark 16, in fact, it says, and he said unto them, go. That word go is away, depart, travel, take a journey into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, number two, an ambassador is the highest ranking official sent from one country to another. The highest ranking official that is sent from one nation to another nation, okay, is called an ambassador, or sometimes they call them an envoy, but mostly an ambassador. Okay. So what's so special about an ambassador? They go and they have authority to speak on behalf of the nation that sent them. And on behalf of, in this state, of course, the United States, on behalf of the president. So the ambassador is the highest ranking official sent from one nation to another. You say, well, Jim, how does that fit in with Christians? What rank do we have? What's the scripture say? We are kings and priests unto God. If you've got a self-image that's down in the dumps, remember that God has chosen you, okay? He died for you. He's forgiven your sin. Accept his forgiveness. Accept the fact that the gospel is true. And he makes us an ambassador. There are two kinds of people in America, two kinds of people in the world. Those who are missionaries and those who are mission field. There's nothing in between. You're either saved or you're not. If you're saved, we're to be missionaries, even in our neighborhood, if it will. Okay. In other words, a missionary is not one who crosses the ocean. A missionary is one who sees the cross. And that's what I tell our board at school ministries is, a missionary is one who sees the cross no matter where you go. Okay. You're a highest ranking official. Kings and priests unto God. In fact, I had a conversation with, I was speaking, believe it or not, I will speak anywhere as long as I'm allowed to speak what I wish. And I've been invited by various denominations. I spoke at the Episcopal retreat of the Church of Virginia a while back. Somebody heard me speak. Someone said, hey, why don't you invite Mr. O'Brien? Okay, so they invited me, not knowing what my preaching was going to be about. And we ended up at a retreat on 90 of us, I think, altogether, including some of their priests. And I preached five or six times that weekend to the state bishops of the Episcopal Church. Preached the gospel. Preached about the resurrection. Some of them weren't happy, and some of them were sort of surprised. But we have authority. We are kings and priests unto God. Number three, an ambassador is not elected by popular vote. You know, we have a lot of discussion about voter fraud and the Russians interfering with our elections and all that kind of thing. You're not voted into office. We are chosen. Okay, we are appointed. Scripture says you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Okay, number four. This is an important one, very important. An ambassador must be a citizen of the nation that he or she is represented. In other words, I can't go to Mr. Trump and say, I'd like to be an ambassador to Bermuda. Jim, you speak with sort of a foreign accent. How long you been, you know, were you born here? Well, no, but I really like this country. I cannot legally be appointed as an ambassador if I'm not a citizen of the United States. We have to be a citizen of the nation that we represent, which means we have to know the one who is our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's a lot of people who try to serve the Lord, but they don't even know him. Sort of doing something for God. We can't do anything for him unless we know him. Now, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, book of Corinthians, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. To be an ambassador, you have to know the Lord. You're appointed. You're not elected. Yes, we are part of the elect, but we are chosen. Number five. This is very important. Also, I guess every one of these is important, but number five is this. An ambassador must know and speak the language of the people that they're going to be effective. Say I was appointed to go to Burundi, and all I know in Burundi is thank you. How effective am I going to be as an ambassador? In fact, I think the United States of all the nations is probably the least literate when it comes to multiple languages. In fact, we struggle with English, I think, most of the time. Know the language. What does that mean? Know the scriptures. These are the things we need to communicate. We need to know the language. That doesn't mean we have to speak the king's, you know, the language of the King James Version, necessarily. What language did Jesus speak when he was ministering? Aramaic? What was that language? Was that some high university language in the colleges of the day? No. It was what was spoken in the marketplace. So people, the common people, could understand what he was saying. We need to be able to speak the language. We need to understand the scriptures and rightly divide it and present it in a way that's understandable in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must know the language. I took 2 years of French in high school and I barely passed. Anybody else have trouble with language beside me? Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. You know, 2 years I took French, parlez-vous français? You know, un peu, you know, j'ai mal à la tête, I have a headache, that's about all I remember. Oh, I have a stomach ache also, I know that one. But then I got to college, you have to have two years of a language. Guess what I took? French all over again. Why? I already know it. C, D, D, D. Kept me off the dean's list. Again, even though I took it once before, I still didn't do very well. But I'm not talking about that kind of language. I'm talking about the language of the scriptures. Be able to communicate the truths of Scripture and understand it. Okay. All right, number six, if you're taking notes. When you send an ambassador to a country, whether it's to China or to Russia or to South Korea or North Korea, what do you do when you get there? Do a little sightseeing? Why are you being sent? There's a mission, right? There's a job to do. What is our job? What does it say in 1 Corinthians right after it says we're ambassadors? What is our job? Without looking. Anybody know? And next verse. Our job as ambassadors is reconciling the world unto Christ. What does it mean to reconcile? To bring together, to make one, to reconcile. When you reconcile your books, maybe your financier, you got to reconcile. In other words, what this says and this says have to match. Make sure that what you think's in the bank is really there and vice versa, that kind of thing. To reconcile, to bring together. Okay. And who we're trying to bring together? These people and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that message get through. We have a specific mission. And that is to reconcile the world unto Christ. In keeping with that also, we must keep in communication with our home country. Okay? You don't just go over there and stay for 10 years and then come on back and, hey, how's it going? I haven't heard from you in a while. No, you're in constant communication. Sometimes it's classified. Sometimes you communicate through what we call diplomatic satchels. I don't know if you knew this, but when Russia or some other country that we don't trust very much communicates, they have these diplomatic pouches that are locked that cannot be inspected by our FAA or TSA people. They are protected. Okay? They communicate back and forth with sensitive information sometimes. Okay? So you need to continue to communicate with home base. And of course, today it's not that hard, you know, through not only telephone and cable and telegraph and letters and things, but also, of course, telephones and all these other communication tools that we have today. But you've got to stay in communication with home base. And of course, home base is our Lord. How many of you remember Jim Elliot? I had the privilege as a young kid to meet Jim Elliot. He was in our home. He and his wife had lunch with us, my wife and I. My mom and dad and my sister and I had lunch around our dining room table a few years before he ended up giving his life for the sake of the gospel down in Ecuador. This next point relates to what I just mentioned. An ambassador must be willing to risk his or her life for the mission of being an ambassador. You know, Ambassador Stevens over in Benghazi ended up giving his life to hold down the fort there in that embassy in Benghazi, Libya. He lost his life along with three others in that consulate. Jim Elliot said in his diary, October 28, 1949, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to attain that which he cannot lose. And that was fulfilled. He gave his life at the hands of Ecuador's Auca Indians at the age of 28. 28. Spear right through his chest. Killed. Less than 7 years after he wrote that statement, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to attain that which he cannot lose. So we must be willing to risk our lives, if necessary, to serve as an ambassador. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And what happened to Paul? Anybody? Did he die a senile old man? How did he die? He was beheaded. Has anybody been to Rome and seen where he was beheaded? As a kid of 16, I traveled for 2 months around Europe with a pack on my back. In fact, I was surprised my folks would let me go. When I was 15, I said, Mom, Dad, can I go to Europe for next summer? They said, sure. I said, really? He said, yeah, earn the money and go. Oh, come on. So I got a job working in the newspaper in Schenectady, and
Shortly thereafter, realized that I'm not going to be able to earn enough, so my dad said, I'll match every dollar you earn, and I was able to go. And, well, I'm not going to go any farther than that because it's going to take too much time. But the point is that, I'll just tell you, outside of Rome, on the Appian Way, which you can actually see today, you can see ruts in the rock on these stones that are laid in that the Romans laid down 20 centuries ago. And there's a place there where they claim that Paul was beheaded right along the Appian Way with a scimitar. Paul was an ambassador, gave his life. Someday we're going to meet him. Can you imagine that? Ann Graham Lotz, perhaps you saw the memorial service for Billy Graham. Ann is one of Billy Graham's children. Stated back a couple years ago, October 2014, you might think that this might not happen today, being beheaded. Yet it has been estimated that more than 45 million men and women were put to death for their faith in Jesus Christ during this century. During the 20th century, not the 21st, 20th century. In recent years, however, the estimate has averaged between 160 and 171,000 people per year that have been killed, executed for the name of Christ throughout the world. That's more than 10,000 Christians dying for their faith every month currently around the world. That's more than 400 per day. All right, just a couple more, we'll be done. Number 8, an ambassador speaks with authority. It's not just sort of, well, if I were you, I'd do it this way. And, you know, after all, nobody's perfect, but this is sort of my experience, blah, 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 blah. No. What did Paul say? Remember? He was saying, ye men of Athens, blah, 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 blah. He went right down the line. He spoke with authority. He spoke with boldness. There was the Holy Spirit working through him. You compare that with his behavior. Okay, let's move on. All right. Remember Billy Graham when he preached? What was the thing he said most often? I can still remember him on television. Remember? The Bible says. Okay, it wasn't Billy Graham. It was, this is what the Bible says. Don't argue with me. Argue with this. And I think we as ambassadors need to claim that. Instead of just saying, well, the way I feel is blah, blah, blah. Wait a minute. We can speak with authority. Okay, number 9. An ambassador must keep in communication with the one who sent him. The Holy Spirit is always with us, okay? Never leaves us. The scripture tells us, pray, finish the sentence, without ceasing. Pray as if you've got a tickle in your throat. Be always ready to pray. That's our communication to him. His word is his communication to us. I remember I was traveling with Dr. Bob Cook when I was back at King's, and he used to take with him on weekends sometimes as he spoke in various churches around the greater New York area, up in New Jersey here and over in Connecticut and upstate New York. And I remember we were heading down toward Oradell, New Jersey, and I was supposed to be doing some special music and leading and singing, I guess, and he was going to preach. And we had this big old Buick that he had. Maybe you remember that, with great big three-ton car. It was a great big car. And he was over there driving like this, and I was over in the suicide seat, I call it. And and I was supposed to be singing, and I'm going to this home church of Jerome Hines. I'm going, why am I singing at a church where Jerome Hines is attending? I said, he ought to be up there, ought to be down in the seats. But anyway, I was a little nervous, and I think he sensed that. He said, Jim, before we get there, why don't you lead us in prayer? So I bowed my head and started praying. And as soon as I said amen, he started praying. So I just kept my head bowed like this. And he's thanking the Lord for safety and praying that he would honor his word and that it would go with power and so on. And after I started hearing it, my mind started wandering. I'm in the front seat. I'm in the suicide seat. He's praying and he's driving. You know what I'm thinking? He either is crazy, he knows this road really well, or he's praying with his eyes open. So at this point, I looked up like this. And just then, he's looking down at me. He said, Lord, forgive my brother a little faith, you know. I never forgot that, as you can tell by the way I recall it here. But that little incident taught me something. You don't have to close your eyes to talk to the Lord. In fact, sometimes I find when I close my eyes when I'm by myself, sometimes I fall asleep. So I like to talk to the Lord with my eyes open if I'm not going to get distracted. Kneel down next to the bed, got on my knees, close my eyes. Before I know it, I wake up 15 minutes later, my legs are numb from the knees on down. I have to get up in the bed using my elbows. Yeah, very embarrassing, especially if my wife sees me. Okay. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it is, pray without ceasing. Be always in an attitude of prayer. Okay? It doesn't have to be this long, drawn-out, you know, treatise. Lord, thank you for who you are. Just give me the words to say when I go into this meeting. Okay? Keep in communication. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 9, he's telling the people there in Rome that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. Okay, so he's preaching what he does. All right, finally, an ambassador's actions are judged by the people to whom he or she is sent. It is so important for us as we go out and claim to know the Lord and claim to be his ambassadors, if you will, that we represent the Lord in a way that's honoring to him. There's so many scandals going on these days, even within the church, that you wonder how people even believe the things that Christians say sometimes. I don't have to start naming all the different scandals. You know them, many of them. I remember my wife and I, and this I'll close, my wife and I were in Washington, D.C. a few years ago. And we and a number of other folks from the Christian Embassy were invited to come to the ambassador's home from, I believe it was Zambia. We were invited to come to the embassy for lunch. And we came and knocked on the door and so on, and they were expecting us, of course. And this lovely lady came to the door. Gracious, thank you so much for coming. Oh, it's what a privilege to have you. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, this lady is really, really lovely, you know, and I'm wondering where the ambassador is. It turns out later she's the ambassador. So we sat all the way around the table. There must have been maybe a dozen and a half or so people there. And she sat down right in the middle. She said, before we eat, let us pray. And she led us in a prayer. What am I thinking? Man, this lady is real. This lady, I believe, has a faith that's real. And it turns out she did know the Lord, does know the Lord. And that testimony really, really came out. She didn't have to preach it, but she lived it. And so as we go about our daily work, as we go about our daily lives, whether it's over the back fence or in the classroom or in the marketplace or wherever it is, let us remember we are ambassadors. We have the power. We must go. We must understand the language. We have authority based on the Word of God, reconciling the world unto Christ. We have a responsibility. And my hope and prayer is that we will each, in our own place and way, honor the Lord as his ambassador. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone here, from the youngest to the oldest. And Lord, I especially would ask that you would impress upon our hearts the importance of communicating the gospel, not just from our lips, but through our actions and through the various things that play out in our lives. And Lord, may our words not betray the fact that we're Christians. Lord, help us to look to you and communicate with you on an ongoing basis and not just sort of do it alone and try to be clever. Lord, the song says we need thee every hour. In fact, I would change it to we need you every second. Lord, help us to honor you through our lives and through our words, through our testimony. We leave it in your hands, we pray, in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen.